Thank you so much for that special music. And I challenge you, even before the sermon this week, if you really want to hear God speak, the first thing you need to do is simply ask that question in a quiet place. So find a quiet place. Maybe you're going to be in a deer stand this week. Maybe you're going to be in your den, or turn off the TV, turn off the computer, and just ask God to reveal himself and speak, and you will find that God will do it. Today we're going to be in the book of Mark. We're going to be in the Mark chapter 4. If you have your Bibles with you, that would be great. I've entitled this message, Four Levels of Response. Jesus is teaching, and he's asking people to listen and to respond. Let me read the word to you this morning. Mark chapter 4, the very beginning. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake, and the crowd had gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake. And while all the people were along the shore, at the water's edge, he taught them many things by parables. A parable is basically a word picture, a story that people understood. And in his teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow a seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and some birds came and ate it up, and some fell on rocky places where it didn't have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Another seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still another fell on good soil, and it came up and grew and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, and even 100 times. And then Jesus says, 'He who has ears to hear, let him hear.' And when he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked about the parables, and he told them, 'The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but not perceiving, or ever hearing but not understanding, otherwise they might turn and be forgiven.' And then Jesus said to them, 'Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. And some people are like the seed along the path where the word is sown. And as soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes the word away, or takes the word that was sown in them. And others, like the seed sown in rocky places, hear the word and at once they receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they only last a short time. And when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. And still others, like seed sown among the thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, the desires of other things come in and choke out the word and make it unfruitful. Others, like seed sowed on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop 30, 60, and even 100 times what was sown." Let's pray. Father, we come before you and we just recognize that this is the word of God. And we can just imagine what that must have been like as you were out in that boat and off the shore just a little ways. And Father, would you gather us to the water's edge today? Would you give us ears to hear? Would you give us a heart to respond? And Father, I just thank you and praise you for what you're going to do. We're asking that the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you. We're asking, Heavenly Father, that Jesus would grow in stature in our minds and in our lives. In our hearing this morning, that I would become less. Father, we just thank you that you are the God who pursues us. And right now, we just simply ask you to chase us and give us ears to hear. And don't make it really hard, for we are so weary of complications. But just minister as only you can by the power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at Jesus' views and thoughts about life, his purpose, salvation, what it looks like to be fruitful. Over the next year, I can tell you and just sort of promise you, if you want, you can look out on the table right by the glass doors there. There's the annual reports for this year. But we're going to be going back to the basics of scripture and prayer and study and discipleship and what that looks like. We're living in a culture that's withdrawing from dialogue. We're living in a culture that we almost don't even know how to respond well or even think well. And I want to ask you, and I want to challenge you, that we don't want to be like our culture that is more and more withdrawing, more and more living within a bubble, more and more living in isolation, where we're fearful of the people that we meet on a regular basis. I want to challenge you not to withdraw, but I want to challenge you to get engaged. Respond to God's word in tangible and powerful ways. And today we're going to be looking at this little passage in Mark chapter 4. Jesus is talking about the four levels of responders. And he's using parables and word pictures that resonate with the hearers in Jesus' day. The images that he gave, every single one of them would have understood. It was a part of their life. Every single spring as they went out into their fields, it's not like today where you have equipment that pushes the seeds in the ground. It was old school. Literally, a guy had a basket full of grain, and he would walk through the fields and sort of just scatter it out and throw it. All of them understood. And so Jesus is using images that everyone understood. And basically, Jesus was sharing the good news of the gospel. He was offering sight to the blind. He was healing the broken. He was offering hope to the hopeless. He was literally talking about redemption and salvation and grace and a God that had pursued them. Over and over again, the kingdom of God has come. And if you look through the Gospels, and I hope you'll begin to reading them more and more often, but do you realize almost every time Jesus talked, he said, the gospel has come, the kingdom has come. The Messiah was here. There was no more waiting or looking or searching or hoping that God was with them. He literally had showed up. And as the farmer goes out and he throws the grain, it goes all over the ground. And Jesus was literally saying, everywhere I go, I'm preaching this gospel. I'm letting people know who Jesus is. I'm telling them what the word of God says. I'm letting it make sense into their hearts. And even the disciples, I think it's so interesting that after the crowds had gone away, the disciples are sitting and they begin to talk. And they still don't get the picture. It gives hope for all of us. And Jesus says every time the truth is thrown out and given and shared, the truth is always good. The gift of salvation is always good, but it's the soils that makes the difference. And so Jesus begins to say that there's basically four different types of soil. There's pathway soil. And I'm sure you've all seen that if you've ever walked through the woods or you've gone through somebody's fields. It's really, really interesting. If you came to our house, in fact, I've seen an aerial photograph of the house from back in the 50s. And what is so amazing to me, even to this day, the house was in the 1860s, it was built, and apparently they used to have cows. And what's interesting, even today, if you were to look in our side yard, no matter how much grass is there, you will see this little tiny path that wandered back into the woods and wandered back up into the barn. It's been probably 100 years. Maybe not that long, because I'm not sure. Well, I know the people before us didn't have cows, but that path is still there. Isn't that an amazing thing? So you've all seen that, and he says the first type of responder is the pathway soil. It's hard, it's smooth, it's beaten down. There have been many footsteps across it. This is a road that was traveled, and everyone in Jesus' day would have understood what was going on. In Jesus' day, around the little fields that they had, there was always a pathway where the animals walked and the people walked. And he says the sower, the truth is thrown out to them. But he says immediately the birds quickly come and pick it up. And he's saying that there are some people, even sitting here today, that no matter how often they hear the gospel, no matter how often they hear the word of God preached, no matter how often they read the stories, that they literally hear but don't listen. And the scripture says that we have an enemy, and for a lot of us, we don't believe that, and every so often we'll talk about that spiritual battle that goes on, but we have an enemy that wants to remove all hope, because Satan doesn't want anyone to be rescued. He doesn't want anyone to be redeemed. He doesn't want anyone to come face to face with any type of truth that will transform hearts and minds and lives. And so Jesus says there are some people that no matter how often they hear the truth, because their hearts are hardened, because the enemy has so influenced them, it's almost like talking to a wall. And so often we get discouraged by sharing Christ, and Jesus is basically saying there are going to be some that aren't going to hear or listen or respond. And you and I have all faced people like that. And then Jesus says, as he's throwing out the truth, besides the pathway people, there are those that it's just shallow soil. It's rocky. It's filled with gravel. And he says, the truth goes out and it falls on that type of soil. It falls on the gravel. And as I was thinking about that, it reminds me of the driveways, the gravel driveways that some of us have. And it just doesn't seem to be able to, well, you don't want it to grow, but every so often weeds will get in there. But after a summer of drought and tires running on it, nothing seems to grow in that place. And sometimes gravel driveways look green, but then the dry weather happens and the bright sun comes upon it and the cars roll over it, and it only lasts a short time. And so the message here is that there's going to be a response. And there are sometimes when the truth of the gospel goes out and you share your heart and you share your lives with people and they grab hold of that. They listen and respond. They really begin to believe that the gospel is true, and it's true for us. We've all experienced that type of situation, haven't we? The message is given and there's a response, and people listen and accept. But they fall away from it. I don't know about you, but as I was thinking about that, have you ever watched late night TV? Okay, none of you have. This is pretty amazing. Okay, have you ever seen all of the different products that are going to transform and change your life? You remember the copper top pans? You can cook elephants on it and it won't stick. It's just amazing. And all the products, if you ever get to go on the late night TV, it used to be, they probably don't do a whole lot of it because I haven't been a late night person in a long time, but I can remember, you know, for three payments of $9.99 and free shipping, you'll get this product that will change your life. I mean, a couple of years ago in New Jersey, everybody got that little product that made zucchini look like spaghetti, and it doesn't matter how many times you use it, it's not spaghetti. It may look like it, but every household in the block had one of those, and for about 3 weeks, zucchini was the go-to fruit or vegetable. And then what happened after about a month? It gets to be in the back of the drawer, and it never comes out again. Jesus is literally saying there's some people, they respond to the gospel like those gimmicky products, that they find themselves in a bind or they're in the midst of trouble and anxiety and fear, and someone tells them about a Jesus who will walk with them and speak to them and redeem them and forgive them and break the bondages that they carry, and they grab hold of it as tight as they can. They come to church for a few weeks or a few months. And then all of a sudden, people begin to speak to them and maybe make fun of them. I can remember I had friends in New Jersey that every so often they'd catch this vision of God and grab onto him, and then their families would come alongside of them and say, don't get really serious about this Jesus stuff. It's not really real. Or they find themselves in that place where they've accepted Christ as their Savior and they begin to pray about something and it doesn't change quick enough. And they just sort of walk away. There's lots of emotion, but not a whole lot of head knowledge or heart knowledge. And Jesus says there are some who are going to respond to the message just like that. It's all good till trouble comes or friends or families make fun of them. Don't take this God stuff so seriously. In fact, I'm sure some of you have heard those words. Not so much out loud, But you hear things like, don't do that prayer meeting stuff, or don't do that Bible study stuff, or you don't have to go to church, or, you know, just worship God wherever, and we slowly begin to wander away. Jesus says there's some shallow soil in our hearts and in our lives. And he says there are those who will hear the gospel and they'll jump at it for a moment. Then he says there's another type of soil, and it's another type of response, and it's stunted soil. The soil is good, but there is just so much competition that the message and the gospel get swallowed up by everything else. Have you ever been there before? where you know God is speaking and he's changed you and he's challenged you, and it's you believe in all that he's done, and you've seen healings and you've seen lives transformed, and you walk with God, and there's this sense of celebration in the midst of it. But then life begins to happen. In fact, if you look in the scripture, I think this is probably where most of us find ourselves. Isn't it? Still others, like a seed sown among the thorns, hear the word. But the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires for other things come in and choke out the word and make it unfruitful. And see, that's probably part of the reason why our faith is so boring and so lifeless, is because we never get to see the fruit of it, and we sort of lose track that we're to be letting people know about Jesus. I don't know, for Joyce and I, we can't figure it out, but this year was not a good garden year for us. If you came and look at our garden, and I think some of it is because we planted it and then took some time off and left the state for a while, but this year I had an amazing crop, and I'm not sure what it is, but you know, my tomato plants were there, and my peppers were there, and they grew up really big, but there's this really weird viney weed. I don't know what it is. It's in western PA. But if you were to come to my yard today and look at our raised bed gardens, you would see that I have the best crop of viney weeds in all of Greenville. And they literally came up and they wrapped themselves around the tomatoes, and then they wrapped themselves around the peppers. And this year I even harvested green peppers from plants that were literally lying on the ground because the vines had pulled them down. And even the big tomato metal, what are those things called? Okay, yeah, they're on the side now because the vine just sort of pulled them over. It's an amazing picture of what happens when we're not firmly committed to wandering after God. The worries of this life grow up around us. The deceitfulness of wealth that continually tells us that this is where hope is and this is where redemption is, and if we just try harder and do more and continue to run after all those other things, it becomes unfruitful. And sometimes we just follow after things we think will have more value. The other thing that we learned this year, as I said a number of months ago, Ethan and I got some sheep, and we really believed that we were going to make our fortune as sheep herders. We figured, you know, we got four of them, and we knew how much we paid, and we figured we would at least triple or quadruple our investment, and it was just going to be a wonderful year. I'm not sure we even like sheep at this point, But this last year, this last week, or about 2 weeks ago, I don't know if you saw our car, but I made this little cage around the back of our Toyota, and we put two sheep, two goats, and chickens on the very top. I was just hoping we didn't get pulled over, because it looked like the Clampets were coming to town. It was just one of those amazing things. And we went down to where we sell the sheep at market, and I was all excited, and Ethan for the last month had been saying, "Dad, those sheep are well over 100 pounds," and I'm going, "No, they're not. They're little tiny things. They're short and stout. We don't have anything to worry about." And we took them and brought them out, and they put them on the scale, and the one sheep was like 142 pounds. Missed the 80 mark by, you know, and the next sheep came on, and the guy was like, "I don't want any old sheep." And I said, "They're not old. They're less than a year old. They're baby sheep. They're just large baby sheep." And the guy said, I don't want these sheep." And behind him, there was a bunch of people there ready to buy them right up. And the guy goes, "I like big sheep." And so the guy gave me $1 a pound. Ooh. That's not a woo type of thing. It's a ooh type of thing. We had spent time and effort and talked to the sheep, and I mean, we bought all sorts of feed for the sheep, and we thought this is where we were going to make our retirement funds. You're all laughing because you know people that think like this. And then Joyce, this last year, someone came in and said, "I have two goats. Do you want them?" And she got this really amazing price for them, and yeah, that would be a good thing. So we had them throughout the summer. We didn't pay attention to them. I mean, they're goats. They're nice, but they're goats. It's just, you know, they eat weeds. That's all there is to it. And we brought the goats down. The guy smiled and said, "I'll give you $2.58 a pound for the goats." Yeah, that was a wow moment. Because I thought I'm never raising sheep again. All summer long, we thought it was the sheep that were going to make the money, and it became the goats that made the money. And actually made the only profit there was. I haven't even figured out how much the feed cost. But see that so often we chase after other things, thinking there's value to them. And the things that are most valuable, like loving Jesus and loving one another and having compassion on each other in the midst of our busyness and in our lives, see, that's the stuff that's the most valuable. But we're looking for other things to bring fulfillment. And Jesus says it's all about walking with me, and we keep thinking that may be true, but there's so many other better things, right? The worries of this life. How often do we spend time worrying about this life? The deceitfulness of wealth? Again, wealth isn't a bad thing. But when it begins to corrupt our ideals and our hearts, we need to deal with it. The desires for other things come in, and it literally says it chokes out the word. See, one of the things that after 30 plus years of ministry, I have never heard someone say, I chose purposely to walk away from the Lord. I have this awful relationship with him. I haven't grown with him in years. I have never shared my faith with anyone or anything. No one ever says that. They just say things like, I just slipped away. I just didn't show up, and I'm here now. It's the same thing in a marriage. You realize that no one ever breaks up. A marriage never breaks for divorce for usually huge reasons. It's silly things like which way the toilet paper rolls. Not joking. It's the little things that pile up and the numbness begins to grow, and then suddenly after 10 or 15 or 20 years of that, you just walk away, and it's not like you don't love them, it's just that there's just nothing there anymore. Jesus says there's times when that's the way we are with God, that we just get consumed by so many other things. And it just gets to the points where there's just not a whole lot of fruit, if any fruit, that we see. We get to that place where why bother to pray because we're not sure it's going to work anyway. Or we just say, what will be. What it is, it is. And we just live apart. And it says when we get to that place of responding to Christ that way, everything becomes unfruitful. And once something becomes unfruitful, you just stop doing it. It's not that Jesus is unimportant. It's just that everything else is just as important as him. Have you ever been in that place? The busyness of life captures us. The last, it says in verse 20, others like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop of 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown. I love this simple verse because it also says that God expects us to produce according to our abilities. See, oftentimes we like this idea, and it was really, really interesting at district conference, and we'll close in just a few moments, but the keynote speaker, it was amazing because he has just tremendous ministry in downtown Cleveland. He's affecting lives and communities and sections of their whole churches, and what was amazing is that he was the only, his keynote speaker, as he was talking, and we're at Butler Alliance Church, which has 6,000 to 8,000 people, and it's the most amazing thing to just go there and watch and notice, and it's just that God is doing amazing things at that. And he looked up and he said, you know what? God hasn't called me to Butler Alliance Church. He's called me to Hope Alliance, and if we have 200 people, we're lucky. And almost every single pastor there, a light bulb went on, because everything that we're taught is that it has to be growing and larger and huger and better and better. I mean, the goal is Butler Alliance or Allegheny Center. And he says, no. God is using a humble group of people to transform a city. We're never going to have 8,000 people. We may have 220 people if God longs for that to happen in our neighborhood. So when I read this, it says that there are some that hear the word of God and it's thrown into good soil, and they begin to respond to it and accept it and read it and study it, and it begins to produce fruit in their lives. It begins to impact neighborhoods and family members and spouses and children. So what kind of soil are you? Have you sorted this stuff out? And have you ever thought, okay, where am I with God? And what does my relationship look like? And is it growing? And am I seeing some tangible fruit? And I think it's so hard within our culture to recognize and see that so much of what is a part of our lives is part of a culture, and it's all about smoke and mirrors. It's not about reality. So Jesus says the last person who responds, hears God's word and hears God calls and begins to cultivate it on purpose. See, I think sometimes we have this idea that, you know, that God just captures us, and there's this, we just suddenly become this great man or woman of God, and God may do that, but do you remember the whole story of Deuteronomy? 40 years in the desert, Moses was being trained. He purposely decided that things were going to change and he was going to listen to the burning bushes. How about you? Do you realize if you're going to be the fruit, the seed that falls into the ground and God uses mightily, that there's going to have to be decisions and purposes that are going to take place? Where you make that choice to study the Word of God in the morning or in the evening, or where you, when time finds itself there, where you choose that you're going to take the time to be still in that room as the offering song sang, and just ask God to reveal what's going on in your hearts and in your minds. When you choose to decide that you're gonna pray, even though you don't feel like it or you're not sure it's going to work, and it may be ending that prayer with, Lord, help me in my unbelief. But see, when we begin to live in the fullness of God, that's when legacy living begins. When we allow to God to have top spot in the details of our lives, when we become a people that begin to slowly follow His word and letting Him have that say, when we finally decide that the best thing that we can do in any situation is to ask God to use us that we may walk in a godly way in our community and society, that's when we see all that God has for us. It's deciding that we're going to be a people that go all in. And I know as I say those words, it's challenging and it's hard and it's overwhelming and it's countercultural, and very few people are going to encourage you to do that. But then that's when we begin to experience the smile of God in the details of our lives. And what could be better than that? So in closing, let me just ask what type of soil you are. And the most amazing thing about that question is every single one of you sitting here can tell yourselves the truth. I'm a soil that doesn't really listen. I'm a soil that is sort of interested in God, but so many things seem to push me away from that. I'm a soil that I recognize my life is so busy and there's so many other competing themes in there that God really doesn't have a chance to become front and center. For some of you, you understand and you've sort of set those things aside. And you're at that place where you're growing and maturing and life is changing and transforming? What type of responder are you? Will you hear and make choices? This year, where do you want to be at the end of the year? This year, what are you longing for as far as your spiritual life is concerned? And I don't think there's a separation, but I'm just using that as a question today. Will you choose to let God be the very center of your stage? Let's pray. Father, we come before you, and Lord, you always know how we are going to respond. And Lord, we confess to you, for some reason in the body of Christ, we've made someone who's all in to be an unusual thing. We sort of look at them as the Green Berets, the Navy SEALs of Christianity, and yet you said that there are no Navy SEALs. They're just people that have decided to follow after you and go all in. And as I look at this scripture, it just reminds me that the seed is always good. Your truth is always good. And the soil can always be transformed. We can dig up our pathways. We can take the time to remove the rocks and the gravel from the soil. We can add dirt to it and all the good stuff that's supposed to be there. We can weed. And every single soil here, you've destined to grow and be fruitful. So would you give us the courage today to answer those questions? What type of soil am I? What type of responder am I? Would you give us the courage to make choices that put you front and center on the stage of our lives? Father, would you give us the courage to allow you to be the director of it instead of just sitting in the audience? Father, we thank you for what you're going to do. I thank you that you are the God who pursues. May you chase us down this week. And we thank you and praise you for all you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.